Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation with Hannah. Hannah, I am so glad to have you back in the room with me.
Well, it's good to be back. I'm glad you guys got a little bit of a break, but I enjoy being here.
We've been missing you, and we're in a section of Nehemiah where I'm glad to have your insight, because it's a section in the book. We've been talking about it. Caleb and I have been talking about this for the last few days, about how we sometimes in the work of God we're ridiculed. Sometimes in the work of God, the weapon of the enemy is intimidation. But then we talked about the discouragement and how cancerous discouragement can be in our lives, in our ministries. Sometimes it's not the weapon that's lobbed from without, mm-hmm. but what's happening within that sidetracks us.
Right. Internal problems really are the greatest.
Yeah. And Nehemiah has not taken the bait. Each time we found he's gone to the Lord, he's more concerned about what God knows than what people think. He is finding his confidence and security in what the Lord knows. He's praying. They've been great lessons. You would think at this point that the enemies would kind of get the idea. But what we find in Nehemiah chapter 6, and listeners, I really want you to think about this. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what I've done. I've divided this chapter into four separate episodes because it's just that instructive. It's right at the end of the project. They've been working on it in the dead heat of the summer. If you've ever been to that part of the world in the summertime, I mean, it's unbearable. And yet they've been faithful. They've been building this wall. And the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian," and then watch this, Hannah, "and the rest of our enemies." So it's like, really? There are other enemies as well? And we referenced that a little bit earlier, that there were the Ashdodites and some of the others. But man, they're like mosquitoes. And they're swarming on Nehemiah, and it just seems as if everything's ramping up because the project is nearing completion. It really reminds me of what the Bible says about the devil himself in the end days in Revelation, that his fury is great because his time is short. Mm-hmm. And there's something about the attack of the enemy that ramps up when he knows he's not winning. And that's what's happening. Maybe you, my friend, are facing a season in your life where you feel as if, wow, I feel like things are ramping up. I thought I was over this problem. Sometimes the problem is loudest when we're closest to victory.
That's often when we're the most weary. I mean, it's kind of a silly example, but just finishing up school here recently, I mean, the last semester was by far the hardest, and not even necessarily academically, just from the standpoint of motivation. It was so hard to find that motivation. So hard.
And you wonder how many people stop short just shy of their goal. Mm-hmm. Quit. Man, I'm only 5 credits away, but I never finished. Even with projects, sometimes we do the bulk of the project and then we just never get the finish work done. I'm going to get to that trim. I'm going to get to that paint. I'm going to get to that. We get all the big stuff done and we never complete it. So here, Nehemiah is being attacked at the very end of the project, and it's a whole new strategy. You've got to give Geshem and Tobiah and Sanballat, you've got to give them a little bit of credit. If anything, they are persistent.
Very relentless.
And yeah. So they come back, and here's their new strategy. The Bible says, "They heard that I builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, had taken care of all the gaps. So at that time, I had not set up the doors upon the gates." So just a few minor details are left to completion. that here's what happens in verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of, I love this name, in the plain of Ono.
I think I would pick somewhere else if I were them. I mean,
right.
It's kind of just, if it wasn't obvious enough, like, oh, meet me at the plain of Ono.
We're going to the plain of Ono.
No, thanks.
And I understand it's a biblical word, but it is humorous to me. But they thought to do me mischief. So Nehemiah saw through their plan. They're just trying to sidetrack him. Hey, let's talk about it. Let's have a meeting. Let's go over this. Now, their motive was, we want to upend this project. We want this project to end, or to at least take longer. They're buying time through talking. And how often is that what happens in our own lives? That we don't accomplish what we want to accomplish for God because we end up just spending all of our time talking, defending, and talk and speech are often the mortal enemies of doing. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we feel good about what we say and we feel justified in our defenses and we almost like the sound of our own voice. Maybe that's why James zoned into on that one subject so often in his little small book in the New Testament, where he said, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And then he added this, deceiving your own selves. You know, the devil would love for us to get in a position in our lives where we're satisfied with what we say. We're satisfied with the conversations we have or the defenses that we offer. And Nehemiah was not going to take the bait. He knew that this conversation was not going to accrue to the benefit of his people or to the benefit of the completion of this project. As a matter of fact, in verse 3, this is Nehemiah's response to their little ruse. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. These are famous verses in Nehemiah. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? So I'm already engaged doing what God has called me to do. Why in the world would I allow myself to be sidetracked to talk to people that are critical of what God has called me to do?
And he was so in tune with God that his focus remained steady. And like you put it, it was just obvious to him. You know, there's no way I'm going to stop doing God's work.
And it seems obvious. It does seem obvious. But let's face it, we've been in situations like that. Hannah, you and I, and I suppose each one of you listeners, we've been in situations where our motives or the work itself, what we're doing for God, has been criticized, and the temptation is to say, this is ridiculous. This is a logical conversation. I'm going to stop what I'm doing, address this whole situation, deal with it, because this is ridiculous. And yet that's exactly what the enemy wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. So watch how Nehemiah actually handles it in verse 4, the last verse we'll read for today. It says, yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. I absolutely love that verse. And here's why. Because sometimes when people are irrational in our lives and they criticize us and ask us the same questions and neb into the same areas, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll want to go into a more detailed explanation. But that's their whole point in the first place, is to get Nehemiah sidetracked from the project and talk. And Nehemiah simply was not going to take the bait. So when people in your life criticize, then we need to have a terse answer, a short, succinct, to the point, hey, I'm doing what God's called me to do. I'm not going to waste my time trying to justify it to people that aren't going to hear it anyway. And so I'm going to just keep on at it. I'm going to keep on doing it. Well, then they came a second time. Hey, we want to talk to you. And we got your answer, but we really want to delve into this. What did Nehemiah do? He didn't take the bait. He simply gave them the same answer again. When people are so rude to criticize and ask the same kind of unreasonable question, then we ought to just answer the exact same way. Because you're never really going to convince an irrational person. You're never going to convince a person who's not looking for answers. He's looking to waste your time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And the way I picture it, just in my weird brain, is I kind of imagine a little kid saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Or just asking like a question that, you know, he knows, okay, we're not going to be there within 2 seconds, but just keeps asking the same question. You just want to blow up or just, you know, give this long answer, like, you know, can you stop asking me and going on? But like you said, we have to, you know, stay consistent.
Yeah. And hear what we're saying. We're not saying that we should never address legitimate questions or that there don't need to be times of clarification in our life. Certainly that would be the case for every leader, for every Christian. But when people that are predisposed to criticism are simply trying to waste our time and sidetrack us from the greater work that we're doing for God, then Nehemiah's strategy is spot on. Hey, this is what God has called me to do. This is what I will do. And I will not be distracted by your buzzing, by your mosquito-like tactics in my life. I'm not going to go to the plane of, oh no. I'm going to stay right where God has called me to stay and do exactly what God has called me to do. So I don't know if that's an encouragement to you listeners today, but it sure is an encouragement to me. Because it is so easy to allow the cacophony of critical voices that often cascade into our life to shape our behavior. And what we really need to do is come back to, what has God said? What does God think? And to whom will I answer one day? God. And Nehemiah teaches us that lesson. And wow, does he get the job done. So listeners, thanks for joining us again today. It means a lot to me. I know it does to Hannah as well. And we look forward to continuing this particular conversation next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.